Joining the show once again, and it's been just too long, man. I say that off the top, man. But back with I Mix What I Like is the Truth Minister, Paul Scott. My man, welcome back to the program.
Always an honor to be on your program, sir.
So just in case those who, there are a few who don't know, among many other things, Paul Scott is a minister, writer, lecturer, and activist. He can be found online at nowarningshotsfired.blogspot.com. But share with us also your Twitter handle, where I know people will want to follow that as well.
Yeah, that's at Truth Minister with the A. Kind of hip-hop with it. Truth
yeah.
Minister.
And, of course, we'll link to that as well. But, yeah, man, so as normal, you do a lot of, you write a lot of commentaries in addition to the other work that you do, some of which can be found in a lot of different places, including allhiphop.com. And as I've said to you offline, I just want to say on the record that I think it's good that you're in that space and that that space needs your input. So I appreciate that. But you put out another piece just this week titled Search to Replace MLK as African American Hero.
Mm-hmm.
And you suggest, among other things, and I'll ask you in a moment to explain your reasoning, that Tupac Shakur be one of the replacements or the replacement for a new generation, a new African American hero. So let me just get you, let's start with, why do we need a new hero? Why do we need to replace MLK? What is the point in your message here?
Okay, let me start off by saying the reason I chose Tupac is because if I chose Kwame Ture, nobody would have read it. So that was the rationale behind using Tupac as just one example. And the method to the madness is that for too many years, now, you know, I'm from that hip-hop generation, that 1988-89 hip-hop generation. Our generation was basically skipped over. We are the original lost generation, as it were. Even back in 1988-89, we were looking at Dr. Martin Luther King, people talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. Be like Dr. Martin Luther King. However, 30-something years after the fact, we're still saying, telling these young people, well, be like Dr. King, like we have never produced any other leader other than Dr. Martin Luther King. So I said, it's time for us to reassess our leadership, our heroes. Not that anything's wrong with Dr. King, but we get such a limited scope or limited vision of what Dr. King was all about anyway. So I said, let's talk about other leaders like Marcus Garvey, even Malcolm X to a degree, Kwame Ture, and others of our great leaders who have not gotten the recognition of Dr. King, and ask the serious question, why have they not gotten the recognition of Dr. King?
No, that's a great point. You make a number of great points there. I certainly would not mind at all if Tupac Shakur were more fully adopted as a new style of black leader, but on the similar or in a similar way that I would argue for Dr. King or anyone else, that because usually at this time of year, I focus on all that is ignored in the real radical Dr. King. And I think that that same tendency also exists with Tupac, as popular as he is around the world. Too many, I don't know to what extent actually it is, but too many, I would argue, focus more on him as an entertainer, as a pop star, as an apparent thug, and miss all of the real deep radical politics and the histories that he's connected to. The new African Black Panthers, the Malcolm X grassroots movement, the new African People's Organization, the connection to political prisoners like Mutulu Shakur, the not familial but political relationship with Assata Shakur, who is another one I might want to suggest for your list as replacement leaders. But would you but instead of a focus on the radical traditions of these of famous folks like Dr. King, you are actually looking for us to look for, well, as you said, leaders that we've produced in our own lifetimes. I mean, why would it be unfair for us to call for a focus on our generation's leaders? That might include yourself or someone like Rosa Clemente or Kali Okuno or other folks that I'm more familiar with from our generation, and say, not to promote a new level of celebrity, but to say we have people, we are producing people even to this day that are looking to carry on the radical traditions of people like Dr. King, even as people remember him without those politics.
Yes, sir. And we have been skipped over once again as far as our contribution to this thing called Black nationalism or even civil rights. That whole 1988-89, those who are the sons and daughters of the Kwame Ture, those who were shaped politically by Public Enemy, X-Clan, etc., we have been overlooked. And I think really the reason why people like the people you name and David D and others are really not looked at as the proverbial leaders is because of hip-hop. I think that hip-hop is really, it goes beyond generations. Hip-hop is still powerful. Hip-hop is still eternal. So the radical cat back in 1992 is still the radical cat today, unlike the civil rights era. The civil rights era is seen as, okay, we learned our lesson. We have become part of mainstream America, and we have become part of this American dream. Hip-hop is still rebellious. So if you were rebelling back in 1992, quoting Public Enemy, you're probably still pumping Spike the Power in your ride right now. So I think that's one of the reasons why this country has not given more energy or more light to the leaders of that period.
Well, you know, that's interesting. You know, not that I would ever want this country to be let off the hook, but one of the things, and in fact, I think they contribute to the concern I'm about to raise here. In fact, I know they contributed to the concern I'm about to raise here. But one of the things, or one of the reasons why I think our generation has been skipped over is because our generation coming in the aftermath of the civil and human rights and Black power and Black liberation moments in this country, we did not inherit any thriving national or even local political institutions or organizations, and we have not created or sustained any either. Those that I think that my generation or our generation have created have not been sustained, have not become grown to the level where we become an unavoidable imposition on the state itself and on the national consciousness. And similarly, the state and its corporate henchmen have been able to remove these traditions, or replace rather these traditions that you're talking about in hip hop, with a commercial form that continues to testify against, as Fanon once said, or speak against these radical traditions that are still existent and still being carried out through our cultural expression. What do you think about that? I mean, this idea that we haven't been organized well enough, we haven't developed enough of a national organization or movement to impose ourselves and our generation as new leadership, and then we've had this similarly fashioned state-sponsored backlash imposing a new brand or the worst form of our hip-hop cultural expression back onto us.
Well, I think it goes back to what the late Kwame Ture preached on his deathbed: organize, organize, organize. We have not organized to the degree that we should. And, you know, dealing with the matter at hand, that really goes back to the whole Messiah complex. We have been trained to look for a leader, a Messiah, whether it's a Martin Luther King or even Tupac or somebody to come back and save us. We really haven't focused on enough taking the responsibility and doing ourselves. So you're correct with your assessment, sir.
All right, my man. Well, thank you very much again for continuing to provoke thought and encourage radical organizational action. Again, this is I Mix What I Like. We've been talking with the Truth Minister, Paul Scott. He can be followed at Truth Minister on Twitter and can be found online at nowarningshotsfired.blogspot.com. Thanks again, Paul Scott, for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.